It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome everybody to Success Happens. It's wonderful to be here again on this snowy day as we prepare for the Christmas season and the Happy New Year times and all of that. And, you know, I was thinking about preparing for the show today. It's such a wonderful time to be joyous and happy and, you know, be in communication with people. Maybe we haven't seen all year because we've been so busy, but we take a moment to say, you know, I love you or I miss you, or get together for a holiday gathering. And it's a time to reconnect with people. And it's also a time for some folks to deal with some challenges, maybe some times when they're not feeling perky. You know, holidays can bring up for a lot of folks what I call the holiday blues. I don't know if that's a technical term, but I have with me today Shannon Alshire, who is the CEO of Frederick County Mental Health Association. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity to really talk about, first of all, a great organization that has a legacy here in the area of doing phenomenal work. And we're going to talk about all their different programs and services and things, and how you can learn more about them and get involved and support them in some way if you wish. But it's also a time to kind of deal with, okay, well, what if I am somebody who deals with holiday blues? You know, what do I do? And so, you know, maybe there's some opportunities to talk about that and see how we can support people during this holiday time. So welcome, Shannon. It's wonderful to have you here on this gorgeous morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. And I, you know, as we were preparing, and I actually asked, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, there's lots of different conversations, right? Holiday blues, I call it. We had something else we came up with, a sad seasonal affective disorder, right? That's the technical term, I guess. But, you know, there's different times that people, I think, you know, some people may deal with it ongoingly, you know, mental wellness, we'll call it. But some people may just deal with it for a moment. You know, there's something that occurs in life, and we're not our perky selves. You know, I know I've gone through that, and because mostly I'm perky. But you know, whatever that is, sometimes it's also, I think, hard for us to reach out for help. It's hard to talk about it. You know, I laugh because when I was Miss Maryland, I was on an appearance, and somebody came up to me and my feet hurt. I had this massive headache, and I'm doing an appearance where I'm signing a bunch of signatures, and people say, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm good." You know, we always say that, right? "Oh, you know, oh, I'm terrific." You know, we're always terrific, but underneath, maybe not so.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, one of the things we're also coping with in our society today is a stigma around mental health. And I really want to try to take on that today because, you know, it's really okay if you're not always perky.
It is. It is. You know, one of the things that we say is everybody has mental health. And it's a spectrum. So when people think of the words mental health, a lot of times what they go to is mental illness, you know, depression, anxiety, the disorders that exist. But we all have mental health and we have to take care of it. And talking about it is part of what reduces the stigma for everyone.
That's really great. I love that you put it on a spectrum because the spectrum moves, right?
Yes, it does. It's just like your physical health.
That's really great.
You know, just because you have a cough doesn't mean you have pneumonia or lung cancer. You just have a cough sometimes.
Right. Well, and somebody says something to us, we get triggered. All of a sudden, we're in our funk, right?
Right.
But we don't have to stay there.
No, we don't.
And there are different tools, I'm assuming, depending on where you are on the spectrum, to address that mental health concern or issue of the moment, right?
Right.
But, you know, I think there's also something that's really real, and I know, obviously we all do, know people who have taken maybe medications for mental health. And by the way, it's okay. Like you're saying, if you have a cough, you take Mucinex, whatever. You know, you take the meds that you need to deal with the condition that you have.
Right.
And I think that we have part of the stigma is that when somebody's on meds, we somehow make that wrong.
Right. And it's not. I mean, I can tell you that I manage depression. I've had it. It's been diagnosed for about 15 years now. I take medication. I practice really good self-care. But there are times around the holidays, around times of stress, that I struggle. And you have to kind of step back and you pull those tools out of your tool bag that you use and practice what I like to call radical self-care. And, you know, that's just taking care of yourself and setting limits and, you know, making sure it's okay to say no to things occasionally. And that really plays into the holiday blues a lot because people have unrealistic expectations at the holidays. Sometimes there's additional stress, both financial and time-wise. And a lot of times holidays bring back memories. Of, you know, people that have passed or events that happened in the past and they get triggered.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about this idea of self-care. You know, sometimes we call it a mental health day.
Right.
I'm going to go take a mental health day. We call it vacation at work or PTO, right?
Right.
But sometimes you have to one, know yourself well enough.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we don't do that homework. And I'm a big proponent of do the work. You have to do the work. I've done a ton of work on me where I've gotten myself to where I'm pretty self-aware. I'm pretty, you know, now sometimes my husband will say, you know, he'll bring it to my attention if I'm not being self-aware, right?
Right.
Because I'm in my head and he's out there and he's saying, honey, don't, whatever.
And it's good to have people like that in your life, but
right.
Not everybody has them.
That's right. That's right. And it takes a lot of compassion, right? Not only from oneself, toward oneself, but compassion with others around us. And so the first thing I think is be compassionate at this time of year because you never know, and I always say this, you never know what people are dealing with.
You don't. And, you know, Oprah said something one time about people and just assume that everybody's doing the best they can at that moment in time. And if you make that assumption, there's a whole lot of forgiveness for others that comes with it. And that's a release for them, but it's also a release for you too.
Well, that's really great. And I think to piggyback on that is also to be, if you're being open with people about what you're dealing with, people are more likely to be open with you about what they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So it's really important that we create a space of communication where people can talk about stuff, if they so choose, in a way that can have us support them.
Right, right. That's
yeah.
Very important.
You know, I do remember years and years ago, I went to a holiday party and someone mentioned to me, don't bring up Vietnam to this particular individual. He can't talk about it. So, okay, you know, so sometimes we might ask somebody, let's say in the military, oh, thank you for your service. You know, how did you serve? You know, well, you don't know what they're dealing with in terms of, or what they don't want to deal with because they've managed it in a particular way, and that's what works for them. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of navigating when it's appropriate, when it's not, and just being open to a conversation if somebody wants to go there. Then they can.
Right. It's like any conversation you would have with people. It's feeding off of their cues. If I'm sitting here and we're having this conversation and I start making weird facial expressions, then you probably know that something's going on and you would back off that subject and say, hey, how are those Redskins doing?
Right. Nice weather today. Right. Well, and I think the idea, too, of being able to talk about things is, we say it's cathartic, right? And I think when people experience being understood or an opportunity to share what's on their heart in a way that, you know, maybe helps them work through something. sometimes it's just being a listener.
Yes. So one of the things that MHA does is we operate a 24/7 call center, and the call specialists really are there to listen and respond with a caring voice, but not in the way that a friend would, because typically a friend or a relative is always going to go to solving your problem. And really, you have all of the tools to solve your problem. You just need to tell your story and have it be heard. And the difference that I've seen in people between the time that they walk in through our front doors, if they're coming to one of our in-person services, and the time they leave, it's you can see it in their physicality. I mean, like their shoulders are eased and they're more relaxed. It's all about being heard sometimes.
Yeah, and I think about all the burdens on people's hearts that we're walking around with, right?
Right.
And I think as a society, we've made a mistake. I'm going to call it a mistake. It's pretty strong language, but that we've learned to compartmentalize and package it up and set it on a shelf. Because if I say to you, "How are you, Shannon?" and you say, "I'm good," I never get to know what's really there for you. And yes, we don't have that more profound connection. And further, I don't have the opportunity to know that you deal with depression because it's not appropriate to talk about the whole thing, don't air your dirty laundry, mm-hmm. but you also don't tell people what's really going on.
Right.
And I think we've really made it a mistake, a calculated error in that trying to pretend that we're okay when things are really going on for us, that if we were to just talk about it, work through it, have somebody listen, like you're saying, maybe it wouldn't escalate.
Yes.
And percolate.
Yes, you're exactly right. And one of the things that Mental Health America has been working on is a campaign called Before Stage 4 for mental health. And it kind of, people understand that language, stage 4, because of cancer. But we want to get people help as soon as they need it at the appropriate level, because the longer you wait, the more expensive care is. It's just like your physical health.
And don't let it go.
Don't let it go. Don't let it go.
That's really great. You know, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, but I want to give people the opportunity to call the 24-hour. It's 24/7, correct?
Yes.
Your hotline. Can you give that number right now before we go to break?
The easiest number to remember is 211. That number will get you to our call center. There's also a 1-866-411-6803. And that will get you there, too.
Yeah, so the 211's really easy. We'll talk about 211 when we get back. You're listening to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. It's great to have you with us this morning. I have with me Shannon Alshire. You're listening to 930 WFMD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Shannon Alshire, who's the CEO of Frederick County Mental Health Association, and just a really fine organization, and just happened to sit next to somebody at lunch at a business meeting who's with the Mental Health Association of Maryland. So it's part of a greater organization that really deals with mental health at the local, state, and national level. And clearly today we are dealing with dramatic and traumatic mental health issues that are, in some cases, life-threatening and life-ending. So it's a very, very serious issue, and we're going to be hard-pressed to cover it all in this hour, so we'll hopefully be able to continue this conversation as we go forward.
Definitely.
But we were talking about the 211. Explain to people what 211 is and where that call goes and why.
211 is a national initiative. And most of the states at this point have some type of 211. It's kind of like the 911 for Health and Human Services. Our call center, like you said before, is 24/7. We have a multitude of lines that come into that call center, and 211 is one of them. So for us, we serve all of Western Maryland, which is Frederick County, Washington, Allegheny, and Garrett counties. And it's a good phone number because it's easy to remember. And, you know, people don't have to remember 10 digits.
It's fabulous. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. Now, I want to be clear about something. You're Frederick County. Does that mean that you, as a mental health association, you also, all of your services work in those Western Maryland counties as well, or only 211?
Not all of our services.
Okay.
We answer a number of different lines for the Western Maryland region. We also have some of our services in Carroll County. So we cover five different counties, but in different ways. Probably the most important thing for your listeners is that all of our services that we'll talk about today are available in Frederick County.
Well, and by the way, we go out to West Virginia and mm-hmm. Southern PA, and so this is a regional reach on the show. So that's why I want to cover the whole idea of this Western Maryland piece. But the 211. If you need something, to your point, in Health and Human Services, that 211 is a direct, they have a directory where they can point you to lots and lots and lots and lots of different resources in the nonprofit and the public health arena, correct?
Absolutely. And one of the things that I like to point out to people is it's not just a directory. You're talking to a trained call specialist, and they can kind of ask you questions that might help you discover that what you thought you needed originally, you still need, but there are other resources surrounding that that might be even more helpful.
Yeah, so to build upon that, when somebody's dealing with an issue, it's rarely one thing.
Right, right.
We have a multitude of issues that have probably gotten us to the point of some crisis. So your people are trained to listen for all the different areas that we can be of service to that person at that time,
yes,
correct?
Yes, and yeah. Ask clarifying questions.
That's really great. It's really great. And so, you know, I have somebody I know whose daughter was really suffering, and was threatening suicide. And so I said, call 211.
Yes.
You know, call 911 if it's more, you know, if it's a critical immediate. But if you're looking for somebody to help navigate how to get this person on a path to wellness, call 211.
Yes.
And they did. And your team was extremely supportive and effective at getting the person the health and wellness they needed. And she's fine.
Yeah. One of the things that people think is, okay, how is it going to help me to make one phone call? Well, one of the biggest protective factors around people that are considering suicide is some type of connection. That doesn't mean if that connection is with a parent, with a friend, with a spouse. It can be with the call specialist at the other end of the line, just as long as they are connected with another human being. And in this day and age, when we lean more and more towards technology, that is sometimes an issue.
Right. People isolate.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And that's true, by the way, not only for young ones, but for elderly as well. One of the health, outcomes, you know, the way they measure, you know, effectiveness is if somebody is isolated, not experiencing socialization, their health outcomes are worse.
And you brought that up, that we have a program for that, too. We make outbound phone calls to homebound seniors. If they're choosing to age in place, to check in on them, see how they're doing. And if they don't answer, making phone calls out to their emergency contacts or even sending the police to do a wellness check. But a lot of times these older adults tell us that we're the only voice, real live voice, that they hear during the course of a day.
Oh. And that's heartbreaking right there.
It is.
That's heartbreaking right there. All right. So I want to go back to this idea of the holiday blues, because speaking of that, you know, we have people in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And this is the other thing about today's society. Do we really knock on our neighbor's door and say, hey, how you doing? Can I borrow a cup of sugar? We don't do that anymore.
We don't.
We don't. It seems like in my neighborhood, the only time we get together is either the police have arrived and something's happening. Everybody's in the court going, okay, what's going on? You know, so we really do live very isolated, even within our family units. So during this holiday season, do you have any tips for people who might find themselves isolated, alone, or you know? I know for me, I'll just throw this out, you know, when I was single, and I was single for many, many years, you know, I just go out to dinner by myself because mm-hmm. I, you know, just sitting there, I get to talk to somebody, you know what I mean? So sometimes just get out of the house.
Absolutely. And you know, you're talking about the holiday blues and tips for avoiding the holiday blues. One of them is just stick to your normal routine as much as possible. You know, we're pulled here, there, and everywhere during this season. But if you try and manage your expectations, plan ahead a little bit, and stick to your routines, that's a good thing. It helps you get enough sleep, which is a major factor in having blues. Like you were saying, take time for yourself, like go out to dinner, but don't isolate. You know, have conversations with real life people. And by isolate, that could either mean that you're sitting alone at home, or it can mean that you're spending a lot of time looking at your digital device rather than interacting with people. Getting exercise is another really good way to take care of yourself. If you're feeling stressed, take a 5-minute break, go for a walk. Even on a snowy day like today, a walk is really good for you. And watch your eating and your drinking. Only in moderation. We tend to do a little too much of both during the holiday times and justify that. But
have one dessert, not two, so you don't get depressed. I can't believe I just ate all that sugar. Right.
right. And the sugar causes that high and then the crash. So that doesn't help either.
Right. Very good. Yeah, I'm thinking about my bud Kip Jawish, who would say that gets the endorphins moving. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess it when does. You're out there exercising, it actually has a physical chemical stimulation or something to get out and exercise.
It does. And I don't think that we realize how sedentary we really are. I got a Fitbit for my birthday, and I'm just ashamed at the results. But if we're sitting behind a desk all day, it's really hard to get that exercise in.
Yeah, they have that new desk. I'm thinking I would like to have it, the Varidesk, where it allows you to stand
sit
up.
Or and, stand.
Or they have the thing, I see it on the infomercials, that you swivel. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, I could do phone calls while I'm swiveling.
Yes,
I might be a little
can.
Out of breath, but, you know. Any rate, well, we're coming up on a break, and I just want to just emphasize again, if people would like to find out more information about Mental Health Association, what is your website?
The website is www.fcmha.org.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Xerox Complete Document Solutions, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Shannon Alsher, who is the CEO of Frederick County Mental Health Association. We've been talking about different aspects of mental health and how some resources out there, the 211 and whatnot. I thought I'd pivot a little bit to some current news, which has been really shocking for most people. I should say shocking for men, not so shocking for women, around this whole sexual assault, improprieties and variations thereof. You know, as women, we were talking offline, you know, Shannon, you said, I don't know of a woman who hasn't dealt with this, right? We've all had different experiences where people have been, quote unquote, inappropriate and worse. And that, I think, affects us as women and how we function, operate, handle ourselves socially in work environments. You know, I know for myself, you know, I guess I got tough. I learned to get tough. I worked in the man's world for many years. I worked in entertainment marketing in L.A. I worked in the record business, which is, and I was selling rap and reggae. I mean, it was tough, kind of a tough kind of man's thing, mm-hmm. you know. And here I was, having sold Hanna-Barbera, I was shifted to rap and reggae, you know. I was like, what has my life come to, you know. But, you know, so I dealt with that, right? I had a guy come up and give me a back rub who owned the company, you know, while I'm sitting there on the phones doing my business, right? You know, what? Right. You know, so how do we as women navigate this? Because if you're tough, you get labeled a particular way, right? She's not a nice person. She's a bee. Mm-hmm. Or if you're soft and more feminine, you maybe are more susceptible to these kinds of experiences. So do you have any thoughts about that? Or, you know, because it's so relevant today. But, and by the way, it's been going on for thousands of years.
It has.
So now we're going to deal with it. The sexual revolution, Bob was saying, Daisy's my engineer today. We were talking about, you know, 60s and 70s. You know, it's come home to roost, right? So any thoughts?
I think it's the same thing that we were talking about earlier. There's a stigma around it. And that, you know, as time has gone on, people feel more and more comfortable talking about it. And I think that that's the floodgate that we've seen open. I think that, like you said, this has been happening for years and years and years, but people have been given permission just recently to start talking about it. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was PTSD and trauma. And for some women, these events are traumatic, and they do have a reaction to them that's more than just, you know, yes, I experienced this, but I'm moving on with my life.
Well, it has what we would call a lasting effect, and then it's just a matter of getting triggered the next time.
Yes, yes. And people can experience these traumas throughout their life. It's not just women, but another thing that we were talking about earlier offline was adverse childhood experiences. And our community has really stepped up and is talking a lot about adverse childhood experiences.
Explain what that means.
So there was a study that was done by Kaiser Permanente a number of years ago, and they outlined basically 7 adverse childhood experiences that could then affect children into their lifetime, and they had to do with abuse, either physical or sexual or verbal abuse, physical and emotional neglect, the incarceration or death of a parent, divorce, trying to remember all of them, living with a family member who had a substance use disorder or a mental health disorder. And what they found was that these kids, as they grew older, not just had things that you might assume were related to early trauma, like mental health issues or substance use issues, but they also had physical health outcomes that were really not the same as people who didn't experience adverse childhood experiences. So they had a 2-time greater risk of being diagnosed with cancer, and a 4-time greater risk of being diagnosed with emphysema.
Okay, so let's delve there for a second.
Okay.
What I'm hearing you say is that mental health or the adverse effects of mental health can show up physically, alter your physical cellular level to cause cancer. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Specifically trauma.
Okay.
So specifically traumatic incidents can, yes. And not only can they alter...
Because if you think about it, we're chemical. I mean, we're a chemical thing called this human body. Okay.
I mean, it basically alters your genetic coding, not just for you, but for future generations. So when you have children, that altered genetic coding is passed on to them.
Wow.
And so really, if we want to solve some of these big issues that our country is facing and that our community is facing, my recommendation would be to really focus on what we can do to prevent adverse childhood experiences and to build resilient children.
Wow. That's just, that's a mountain to climb.
Because it is a mountain.
Because particularly when you think about... Gosh, I don't even want to get into the whole impact of heroin and opioids on this because, you know, you're creating, you know, we call them, in some of the other work that I've done, generational issues. So these are, you know, what you're talking about is altering generations to come. you know, you everything we do has an impact, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does. And we got to be responsible for what we say and what we do. And there's just some people aren't. They're just not responsible for what they say and what they do. And then there's this negative impact that's not just you. It's now, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, a pregnant woman on heroin, you know. You better think about it because you're altering their physicalness for a lifetime. You're creating a whole society, a whole group of people within our society who are going to be addicted. It's just a really, really just disgusting to me. I mean, I get upset about it because we're not being responsible for, right. You know, you got to have that mental thought. Now, there are some people who simply can't manage their mental thoughts.
Well, and people who have a substance use disorder are in that category. You know, it's an addiction, it's an illness, and they're not thinking of anything other than they're being controlled by it, basically, in that moment. And so that's why treatment is so incredibly important.
Well, and I'm going to get my little shout out there. It's not just say no, it's just say never.
Right.
You must just say never. And so that's what we need to be telling everybody. Never, ever, ever even go there.
Absolutely. I heard Sheriff Jenkins say a few months ago, the first time is a choice. Pretty much every time after that is not when you're dealing with the heroin and opioid crisis.
Yeah, and he says one and done. You're cooked at that point, mm-hmm. in terms of the addiction. Okay, so back to this idea of how people, you know, who have suffered, let's say, some traumatic experience. We now call it PTSD. And you know, I think that's true for women who have suffered these experiences in the sexual assault thing. So I want to kind of complete on that idea. You know, if you are somebody who's suffered some sort of an experience in the past, how would they go about getting help to get power over it?
Talk therapy is a great way of doing that. And, you know, some people can work through it on their own, and some people really need somebody to guide them through that process and talk about what happened, how they handled it, whether or not they processed it at that point in time, how it's impacted their life, and then give them tools for managing it moving forward. And, you know, I like to think of it, like I said earlier, as a toolbox that you leave therapy with, and you carry that with you for the rest of your life. You know, you don't always have a screwdriver in your hand, but sometimes you need one, and you get it out of your toolbox and you use it. And it's the same thing with tools for managing your mental health.
So one thing I would ask then is there group therapy? Because I think as women, the more we talk about we've experienced this, we realize, one, it's not just us. Mm-hmm. So it's not something I did that I, you know, somehow asked for this to happen to me.
Right. It's never
that's
fault.
You know, right. You know, society has said, well, she put herself in that situation. Do you have group therapy? Because I would think that would be extremely helpful for women.
We have some group therapy. We do not have a specific group for women. We have a suicide survivors group. So if you've lost someone to suicide, we have a group for that. And we've just started a suicide attempters group. We are in the process of starting. And then we have one other group therapy session as well.
Well, I would offer and request even that you consider doing one for women who have suffered some sort of sexual assault or abuse because, again, it's a spectrum,
mm-hmm,
right?
It is.
Some people have suffered more. Some people have suffered less. But I think as women, if we can get together and talk about it, because we don't.
Mm-hmm. We don't. And really, that would be Hartley House's kind of specialty. I know that they just worked with a male survivor of sexual assault to start a group. So they may already have a group that I'm not aware of. But that's really their specialty.
So we can maybe reach out to them. But Hartley House, people can Google that. And that is the domestic violence shelter here in Frederick County. And they have a number of safe houses where they can keep women and children safe and secure. And I will say off the grid a bit.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just domestic violence, but also rape, sexual assault that they work with.
Right. Very good. So So back to this idea then of your leadership, and here you are in this amazing organization and leading it. Can you step back and just tell us, why did you find yourself in this industry, in this work?
So I started in this industry. I started as a client of MHA. That's how I first heard about them. I was working at a child care facility, and my staff and I took advantage of the early childhood professional development that's offered by one of MHA's programs. So that's how I first got connected. And then I started teaching classes, and then I went to work there full time in their child care choices program.
And you've been there 19 years.
I've been there 19 years, yeah. And so I just kind of moved up through the ranks. And now I've been CEO for the past 3 years. And, you know, like you said, it's a great organization, and we have wonderful people that I get to work with every day.
Well, and I think you're very forward-thinking in terms of addressing some of the concerns. You know, certainly your predecessor, Pat Hanbury, was there quite a while as well, and very well-regarded. Between the two of you, you've done some nice work in terms of expanding your facilities and adding. Talk about the walk-in clinic, if you would.
So that service started about 3 years ago, and it's open 48 hours a week. So anybody experiencing a crisis, and we don't define your crisis, you do, can walk in and be seen by a crisis specialist with no appointment. It's open 12 to 8 Monday through Friday and 12 to 4 on Saturdays and Sundays. And folks come in, they talk with a crisis specialist. Usually it takes about an hour or so to kind of work through what's going on. And they walk out with a written plan in their hands of, you know, what their next steps are. And then we follow up with them via phone call, or if necessary, they can come back in and make sure that things are moving forward for them.
Okay, so let's say somebody doesn't take the initiative to get the help.
Mm-hmm.
Can a friend take them by the hand and take them down to this walk-in clinic and encourage them to get help? In other words, some form of intervention?
They can. We have had groups of friends come. We have had families come. Sometimes parents bring their children at the recommendation of a school guidance counselor. So people get there in all different ways. We've even had friends and relatives come and talk through how they could get help for someone else that wouldn't come. Maybe how they could reach out on the phone together if they're not willing to come out.
So that becomes part of that plan you're referring to.
Yes, yes.
Very good. And, yeah, we talk about no wrong door. So there's multiple ways to get the help one needs. And you may know, if you're a listener today, you may know somebody who you think could benefit from the services at Mental Health Association. Don't wait. Don't wait. That's the thing I would say. You just don't know what people are dealing with. And if you have the thought that they could use that support, it doesn't mean they're crazy. It's not the stigma. You're not saying something mean about them. You're loving and supporting them to good mental health.
Absolutely. And, you know, your point about don't wait, that's why we're open 24/7. Because if you're experiencing a crisis in the middle of the night, the only other option is 911. And we don't want to bog down 911 when it's something that we can help with over the phone and get you some peace in that moment.
So when we come back, I want to talk about your relationship to the hospital, because I think that there's been a nice synergy there, to your point, to help people in that medical crisis. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Sam Battaglia and his team for their support. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
Beginning it.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Shannon Alshire, who is the CEO of Frederick County Mental Health Association. And we were, talking before the break about the clinic and getting people to, really not getting, it's really supporting people.
Right.
you know, in whatever way we can. And, you know, sometimes we're, again, back to this idea of societal norms and not wanting to get into people's stuff. You know, if you know somebody's suffering, you may be the one helping hand, or what do we say, the link to success for them in that moment. So don't be afraid to reach out and touch and be compassionate and caring with people when you see them suffering. Because if not you, who? So that being said, I want to talk about Frederick Memorial Hospital and your relationship with them regarding some of the work that you've been doing to link people to your services as opposed to having them being in the ER. How is that working?
So we were talking about the walk-in center before the break, and really that's the biggest link between us and the hospital. They do support the walk-in center financially, and we're greatly appreciative of that. But it does help them too. So it's a symbiotic relationship, because we do have proof that it's keeping people out of the emergency department.
Well, and let's speak to that for a second, mm-hmm. because the more appropriate place for them to get mental health care is with you,
right.
Not at the ER.
It is,
right.
And it's a totally different experience. So we want people to be served at the level they need to be served at, in the moment they need to be served. That's the goal, I think, for the whole community. And like I was saying, about 25% of the people who come to our walk-in crisis center say that if we weren't there, they would have gone to the ED. And so, you know, that is definitely keeping traffic down.
So when we look at this idea of the mental health, I want to just bring in a couple of statistics that normally I'd say a little earlier in the show, but I think it's interesting. Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., this is according to NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Health, approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., 43.8 million, or 18.5%, lots of ways to look at that data, mm-hmm. right, experience mental illness in a given year.
Yes.
So 1 in 5 people, look around you, 1 in 5 are dealing with this. Approximately 1 in 25 adults in the U.S., 9.8 million or 4%, experience a serious mental illness in a given year that substantially interferes with or limits one or more major life activities. So I think, you know, as we go into the holidays, you know, I'd encourage this as an opportunity to connect with people in a meaningful way, you know, that really allows us to be supportive and by the way, continue it in the new year, right? Because
there's a resolution for you.
There's a resolution. I know for myself, I've kind of reevaluated what it is to be, you know, friend and family, and what does that mean, and what's the responsibility on my part to stay connected with folks, right? So, you know, make a list, check it twice, go out and reach out and be with people who you love and care about, and sometimes your voice can make a difference with a perfect stranger. I know strangers have made a difference with me. So you never know the difference you can make during this time of connecting with folks. Well, let's talk about how people can support you all. So obviously you do fundraising activities. One of the great events here in the area is the Catoctin Affair, which is a legacy event, which is tons of fun. I've been, it's really great. And you are accepting sponsors at this time. Your date is when? When is it going to be in April?
It's April 14th, and it's the 20th year.
So wow.
We're planning a big shebang this year to celebrate our 20th. Like you said, we are accepting sponsorships right now. We just announced our presenting sponsor, Frederick County Bank, last week. So, but we have other sponsorship opportunities that are still available.
Very great. So that's the Catoctin Affair. Then the other thing that you all do, which I'm familiar with and I think is a wonderful opportunity to really understand the inner workings of your organization, is you do tours of your facility to introduce people to your work. And then if you are so inclined, you can support the organization financially. talk about these tours.
So we do offer tours. The next one is Thursday, December 14th at 8:30 in the morning. We call them Mental Health Matters Hours, and we pledge to keep them to 1 hour in length or shorter. And we give people a tour of our mission through the stories of our clients. People walk in with one perception of what we do, and a lot of times they walk out with a totally different perspective once they've had the tour.
Very good. Very good. It's a great way to see, get the inside scoop, if you will, on an organization. So I encourage people to, so if they want to do a tour, how do they sign up?
They can go to our Facebook page, and there's information there, or they can email us. And we'll get them on the list.
And the email would be?
emarr at fcmha.org.
Okay, very good. And then finally, if people want to support your organization financially, you know, we all have been touched in our lives by people who have dealt with mental wellness issues at some point or another, may still be doing so, and you may have a passion for the work. How can they support your organization financially? End of year, guys. This is the opportunity.
It is a great opportunity, and we have information on our website about how to donate. Again, the website's www.fcmha.org.
So fcmha.org. And finally, just really thank you for the work that you all do in bringing awareness to mental wellness issues. Let's not have it be a stigma. Let's have it be an opportunity to connect with people and support them wherever they are, in whatever way they need to be supported. And by the way, support ourselves.
Exactly.
How we need to be supported. And sometimes it means asking for help. So you guys are located in downtown Frederick, correct?
Yes,
so where's that walk-in center?
It's 226 South Jefferson Street.
So 226 South Jefferson, you can walk people in there or walk yourself in, get the support you need. Have a fabulous holiday season. Have it be fun. Have it be meaningful. And I want to thank our sponsor, Xerox Complete Document Solutions. And Sweeties on the Creek will be back in the early spring scooping ice cream. Thanks to Bob Dacey for being my engineer. And thanks to WFMD for the opportunity to be here on air and bring this information to our listeners. And you've been listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD, and Merry Christmas.